You're listening to the Quince Podcast.
We have heard of people getting reinfected with COVID-19 after their first vaccine jab, and in some cases, especially among doctors, after two jabs. These, if caused, can be clearly established, are called breakthrough infections. In a press conference on 21st April, the Health Ministry and the Indian Council of Medical Research stated that only 2 to 4 people in every 10,000 vaccinated against COVID-19 are reinfected with the virus. A slide with 2 rows and 5 columns showed that out of the 93,56,436 people who have been vaccinated with Covaxin, 4,208 have been reinfected after the first dose and 695 after the second dose. In the case of Covishield, with over 10 crore people having been vaccinated, 17,145 had reinfections after the first dose, and the number came down to 5,014 after the second dose. These numbers seem promising, but how realistic were they? What was the methodology of collecting this data? And what time period did the data cover? As India witnesses a rampant second wave of COVID infections, and with phase 4 inoculation starting on 1st May for everyone above the age of 18, it is important to note how effective these vaccines actually are in curbing the severity of COVID-19, especially the new variants. To help me answer these questions for today's episode, I spoke with Priyanka Pulla, a Bangalore-based freelance science journalist, and Amey Paleja, a freelance science writer.
You're tuned in to The Big Story, the podcast where we dissect the headline-making news for you, and I'm your host, Himmat.
Let's start with what these reinfections or breakthrough infections actually mean and why they are important. Here is Amey Paleja, a Hyderabad-based science writer, on what breakthrough infections are exactly.
Basically, the term breakthrough infections is used when a person who has been vaccinated ends up getting the infection that he was vaccinated against. So if you've taken a polio vaccine in your childhood, but you still end up getting polio, then that means that, you know, polio has managed to break through, right? So what you are trying to do over here is basically gauge how good is your vaccine, right? So when, as we know that when vaccines are produced, initially when they are being researched, they go through different trials, phase trials. But then the problem with trials is that they're still a limited number, right? If the phase 3 trials usually have 20,000, 30,000 people, but when you do large scale vaccinations, like we are attempting to do with COVID, we are going to vaccinate millions and millions of people. So what tends to happen is that, there are some smaller details that you will always miss in a clinical trial. And that's why, and those will show up in when you're actually vaccinating your larger population. Most of the times, these are adverse events. So that is like, you know, that's a risk that you're willing to take. So that's what is happening with AstraZeneca's blood clots in Europe. So those are adverse events that you have to be more aware of. But the second point is the breakthrough infection, because what if vaccinating people is not actually helping them, fight the infection? Or in case of COVID, I think it's important because what you're trying to do over here is avoid the infection in the person, right? One thing we must remember when we are getting vaccinated for COVID is that it does not stop you from getting the disease, right? You might get a milder form of a disease. You might get a slightly severe form of the disease. The aim is to protect the person from hospitalization, right? Which is what we are going through right now. A lot of people are getting hospitalized. You don't want that because the healthcare system can't take it. So in this case, what you're trying to do with a breakthrough infection is basically gauge how effective your vaccine has been in preventing that disease.
So how effective are the COVID vaccines available in India on limiting the severity of the virus if you do happen to be reinfected with it? The good news is that both Covishield, which is developed by AstraZeneca and manufactured by Serum Institute in India, and Covaxin, which is a home-brewed vaccine manufactured by Bharat Biotech, has shown in clinical trials to lower the risk of death, severe diseases, and mild infections in vaccinated individuals, even after the first dose. To get down to the numbers, published phase 3 trials of Covishield show a 70% vaccine efficacy in preventing symptomatic COVID-19 and 100% efficacy in preventing severe diseases and death. In the case of Covaxin, phase 3 trials are yet to be published, but the manufacturer has claimed a higher vaccine efficacy of 78%. In the Health Ministry press conference on 21st April, what was demonstrated in those 3 minutes was the effectiveness of these two vaccines being used in India. But as we mentioned, they failed to provide any data on how they went about capturing this effective data. Before tackling the question on how ICMR has surveyed the inoculated population in India, it is important to understand how these vaccine effectiveness studies are actually done and the well-established models for it. Here is Priyanka Pulla, a Bangalore-based freelance science journalist, on how vaccine effectiveness is studied.
Now, it's important to know that there are many well-established ways to do it. People have been doing this for years. So there are several different study designs with pros and cons. But whatever it is, you have to have a study design, right? Before you start doing a vaccine effectiveness study, you need to lay down a protocol. And the WHO advises that this protocol should be laid down before you start your immunization drive. Because, you know, if you don't, otherwise you might miss the initial few people and that sort of biases your data. For instance, when the US approved the Pfizer vaccine, during their press conference, they had this, the huge FDA press conference. They during the approval, they talked about all the studies they had planned. And one of the planned studies was an effectiveness study, right? And I'll just quickly go into how these effectiveness studies happen. So there are multiple different designs suggested by the WHO. One is a case control design. So in this, if a person tests positive for COVID, symptomatic person, they can be compared to people who didn't develop COVID to see if the first group was more likely to have received the vaccine. Now, this is what the United Kingdom did when they measured the effectiveness of the AstraZeneca vaccine. And I don't know if you remember that in early days, there were news reports about how the AstraZeneca vaccine is 72% effective against symptomatic disease after the first dose. So they had used a case control design. Another way is called the case negative design, which is a variation of that, where when people come to hospital with a set of symptoms of, influenza-like symptoms, they are tested, and then you compare the vaccination rates between those who test positive for SARS-CoV-2 and those who test negative. So there are all these various designs. You have to lay down the protocol. Eventually, when you do these studies, there's a ton of data you can collect. Right? It's not just about who has breakthrough cases and who doesn't. I mean, how many people develop COVID after the second dose and how many people don't. It is also how many people develop severe COVID. It is also, you can also measure how many people, how long protection lasts. I think a lot of people are waiting to understand the data on severe COVID, because in many of these clinical trials, the number of severe cases were really, really low. So we don't know with that much confidence, how much the efficacy is with regard to severe COVID. So this was one really interesting piece of information we were waiting for from effectiveness studies. So broadly, that is why we need effectiveness studies.
Now that we know how vaccine effectiveness studies are carried out, let's tackle why the data provided by ICMR is problematic. In an India Spend report on 23rd April, data journalist Rukmini S. noted that until recently, ICMR specimen referral form, SRF, which laboratories are required to fill up when conducting a COVID-19 test, did not ask for any information on whether the person being tested had been vaccinated against COVID-19 or not. And this particular form was not updated up until 7th April, nearly 3 months after the inoculations began in India. This means that there are no records available before 7 April of persons who did get vaccinated and were reinfected with the virus. The other problem is that the websites of large diagnostic test providers, including Max Labs, SRL Diagnostics, Apollo Labs, and even the government's own National Center for Disease Control's checklist of forms is not updated with the new forms, which include the question, have you been vaccinated for COVID-19, which one and when? And the third problem is that the breakthrough infections figures provided by ICMR on 21st April also included people who were inoculated up until 20th April. Here is Priyanka Pulla again on the data provided by ICMR and why these breakthrough infections are important.
Yeah, so to begin with, we have absolutely no idea how ICMR collected
it. Okay.
So, well, you know, what happened is in the health ministry, they shared one slide with one table on it. And in that table, basically it showed that out of 1.7 million recipients of two doses of Covaxin, breakthrough infections occurred 0.04% of the time. And with Covishield, out of 15 million people who got two doses, it was 0.03%. They were numbers for the first dose also. And that is it. Nothing else. You know, what was it? Was it a case control study? What were the rates in the unvaccinated population? When did the study start? You know, ideally, I have spoken to experts like, for instance, vaccinologist Dr. Gagandeep Kang, and she said she would have liked to see the protocol. Without that, you don't even know what these numbers mean. Like, you could have just randomly started measuring the rates somewhere in the middle in some particular population, which is not representative at all, right? So they said it was done in healthcare workers, but I mean, that data is not enough. And again, there was no breakup either. You know, how many severe cases? It would have been really nice to know how many people or severe disease, because as you know, after, you know, facing such a huge outbreak, and there have been a lot of stories about clusters where, you know, several doctors and hospitals are getting infected, right? In Gangaram, there was a cluster like that, you know, doctors getting infected after two doses. But then Gangaram said, no, these were just mild cases. So what would be really good to know is how many people are severely affected, because that is worrying, because most of these vaccines, their primary benefit to us is that they protect against severe disease. We know they're not very good at preventing mild disease. None of this data was available to us. And the other really problematic thing is that this vaccine effectiveness data was extremely important for Covaxin,
mm-hmm.
because we do not have any efficacy data,
we don't.
As in, we have interim analysis, the mm-hmm. first and second, but they haven't published anything yet. So everybody was waiting for vaccine effectiveness data, and you know, instead of a really nice, you know, well done study, they just gave us a single table.
Yeah, so all we have right now is a PowerPoint presentation by ICMR. A single slide, pretty much.
Now, as India goes through a second wave of infections, especially in states like Maharashtra, Punjab, Delhi, there are a multitude of media reports on new variants, and if the rise in cases across India are linked to them, and if these variants have the ability to reinfect people. According to Dr. Gagandeep Kang, a renowned virologist with CMC Vellore, it is likely that it is spreading more and outperforming the other strains, but more data needs to be collected.
There's a lot more that we need to look at. So, for example, in Punjab and in Delhi now, the proportion of strains that are B117 has increased much more. And this is the pattern that was seen in the UK as well. The strain was first detected in September, but it rose to become the predominant strain only in early December. So similarly for us, we started to see this strain, as far as we know, a few months ago, and it has become more important. So maybe we imported this variant and then it grew. If we look at the strain that started out being detected in Maharashtra, B1617, what we are seeing there is also an increase in the proportions of sequence strains that are B1617. So even though we don't have biological consequence data, we do have the epidemiological data that shows that as a proportion, the strain is more. Does this mean that this is spreading more and, you know, out-competing other strains that were there before? That's likely. But I think we'll just need to keep tracking it and try as hard as possible to get the other information that we need about severity, about the ability to cause reinfections. All of that hasn't been done yet and can be done relatively easily. I don't know why it's not happening.
The center will open registrations for COVID-19 vaccinations for everyone above the age of 18 on 28th April. If you want to learn how to register for the vaccine, about the virus and treatments, head over to the Quin Fit and the Quin websites. Till then, mask up when you step out, maintain social distancing, and stay safe.
If you like listening to this episode, please subscribe to The Big Story for episodic updates. We're available on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, JioSaavn, and most of the other popular podcast streaming platforms. For other podcasts, please log on to the Quin website, and for any feedback, please shoot an email to podcast@thequin.com.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quin's website and check out our other podcasts.